Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. And I did want to point out, a lot of people have taken advantage, several thousand people now have taken advantage of the free resource at reallifepharmacology.com. It's a 31-page PDF, top 200 drugs. I was recently reached out by a fellow pharmacist who's teaching some pharmacy technicians, and definitely they found it to be a valuable resource in helping train, educate healthcare professionals to provide better care there and to really highlight important pearls with regards to the top 200 drugs there. So again, 31-page PDF, check it out, reallifepharmacology.com. So again, I'm your host, Eric Christensen. If you want to reach out to me, track me down at LinkedIn. And I think that's going to be it for announcements today here. So let's get into the drug. Prochlorperazine is a medication, brand name Compazine. I've also heard Compro used before as well in clinical practice. And this is a bit of a complex medication, at least as far as a mechanism of action perspective goes. So this drug is classified as an antiemetic, also can be classified as an antipsychotic. Now, I won't say that it's never used as an antipsychotic, but in, 10 years approximately of clinical practice, I have never seen this medication used as an antipsychotic. So there may be a patient out there somewhere, but again, this medication is primarily used for its antiemetic, anti-nausea type purposes. Now, that mechanism of action. So we've got some dopamine blocking activity at the D1 and D2 receptors. And because of that dopamine blocking activity, that is kind of the classic mechanism of antipsychotics. However, dopamine is an important molecule within the brain in the chemoreceptor zone. And this zone area of the brain is a very important kind of central control center for nausea and vomiting. And dopamine blockade in this area is what's likely suspected to help with emesis prevention and feelings of nausea. So that's, primarily how it's going to work there. In addition, it does have some anticholinergic activity, so that may play a role, and you can think about that as far as side effect profile. Rarely there is some potential for adrenergic receptor blocking activity as well. And I'll kind of hint at that in the potential for adverse effects. But that dopamine blocking activity, that's the most likely activity that's maybe helping out in that chemoreceptor zone to help block the feelings of nausea and potentially emesis as well there. So one important aspect, I think, when you're talking about agents that help with nausea and vomiting is to remember routes of administration. Because if somebody's nauseous and they're throwing up and they take a prochlorperazine tablet and they throw it up within a minute, 2 minutes of taking it, they're not going to absorb any of that medication and it's not going to help at all. So with alternative dosage forms, injection, rectal, we can bypass that gut and obviously bypass the risk of them potentially vomiting up that medication and, not getting the benefit that we're intending them to get. So important to recognize that. That nausea and vomiting medications will often have alternative dosage forms, and prochlorperazine is no exception there. So the adverse effect profile. So thinking about the mechanism. So dopamine blockade, we've got the potential for EPS type symptoms. So those movement type symptoms. elevations in prolactin can happen. Okay, again, not incredibly common, but with that mechanism, we do have to think about that. QTC prolongation risk is there as well. Think about, you know, a lot of the other antipsychotics can contribute to that as well. So that's kind of on the dopamine blocking aspect. Now, we also mentioned prochlorperazine having anticholinergic activity. So we can remember those side effects. So they slow the GI tract down, constipation. They also dry you up, dry eyes, dry mouth. Urinary retention could contribute to confusion. And again, a lot of these adverse effects are going to be dose-dependent and potentially frequency-dependent. So if you've got one patient that takes a very small dose and they take it, you know, once a month, once every 6 months for a little nausea here and there, it's probably not going to cause problems in most situations. Now, if you got a patient on a bunch of other meds and there's interactions and anticholinergic burden and all this other sort of stuff, that it is possible. There's, you know, nothing that's sometimes possible. But again, incidents of problems are likely going to be pretty rare if it's somebody that just seldom takes it as needed versus somebody that's popping them 3-4 times a day over the period of, you know, 3 to 5 days or a week. You might see some of these adverse effects start creeping in. And again, kind of a dose-dependent manner there. One last one I wanted to mention, thinking about the mechanism. I mentioned some of that adrenergic receptive blocking activity. So if we think of alpha-blocking activity, alpha blockers are used in the management of blood pressure and BPH. So if you've got a drug that can cause, that has alpha blocking activity from an adverse effect profile, we should think about orthostasis and dropping blood pressure and potentially getting it down too low. So again, kind of another thing, again, not incredibly common, but with the potential mechanisms of the way the drug works, and again, the dose that we're on, that could potentially show up there. So let's take a quick break here from our sponsor, and we'll finish up with drug interactions when we get back from the break here. So if you're looking for study material for board certification, we've got pharmacotherapy exam prep material, we've got ambulatory care, geriatrics, medication therapy management, as well as NAPLEX content. If you're a student, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. If you're not a pharmacist, we've definitely got clinical resources that are meant to help educate you about things in the real world. So Audible book, pharmacotherapy, Audible book, Thrill of the Case. If you've never had an Audible book before, you can go snag those for free. Great resources that help, you know, really provide some of that real world experience that, you know, so many clinicians, young clinicians, and students are seeking out. So lots of stuff that could benefit anyone from, you know, pharmacy technician, nurse practitioner, to a physician and med student there as well. So go check that out, meded101.com/store, STORE. So finishing up on drug interactions here, again, if you understand the mechanism and what that mechanism does, we can think in the mindset of what other drugs would potentially cause those additive effects. So I think about dopamine blocking. If you've got an antipsychotic on board, we're going to pile on and potentially interact with other antipsychotics and double up on that mechanism there. Same thing with anticholinergic and anticholinergic burden. If you've got a patient on, you know, Benadryl, hydroxyzine, maybe a TCA, doxylamine, you know, all these drugs have anticholinergic effects. And if we add prochlorperazine on top of that, we could really have that additive effect and the incidence of, you know, dry eyes, dry mouth, and all the other anticholinergic effects there. With, you know, dopamine blockade, anticholinergic activity, Compazine can be a little bit sedating, so that is something you might see there. And there again, I think of drugs with additive effects. So CNS depressant type medications. So, you know, we've got opioids, you know, your oxycodones, hydrocodones, that common class of medication there. Benzodiazepines are certainly a CNS depressant. Some of the anti-seizure medications definitely can have some of that activity, you know, sedation, things of that nature. Obviously, any medication, virtually any medication used for sleep, can also have that additive effect. So if you can remember that mechanism of compazine, or those three mechanisms of dopamine blocking activity, maybe alpha blocking activity, and anticholinergic activity, I think you can recognize other drugs that may also have those activities and really pile on to that adverse effect profile. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today. If you enjoy the podcast, leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. So appreciative of all the people that have done that. That helps us reach more people. You know, if you like the podcast, share us. You know, send it out to your class if you're a pharmacy student or a med student. You know, share the benefit that you've received from it. And certainly help us grow the audience of this podcast. My intent is to teach as many healthcare professionals and future healthcare professionals as I possibly can about the issues I care about, which is, you know, pharmacology and the appropriate use of medications and medication safety. So feel free to do that. Again, I mentioned at the beginning there, reallifepharmacology.com. Go snag that PDF. You can reach me. Probably the best way is on LinkedIn. I'm probably most active on that social media platform. Again, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPDS, BCGP. And I'm going to sign off for today. Thanks so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.